We read in Mark chapter 12. Let's go back there and have a look at one of the encounters that we read about with Jesus. The encounter in verse 28 to verse 34 of the teacher of the law, who was impressed with the answer that Jesus had given the Sadducees and asked Jesus a question, which is the most important commandment? And Jesus tells him to love God and to love your neighbour. And the teacher replies, well said, and affirms the answer that Jesus has given. And then we read in verse 34, when Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, and Jesus said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." You're not far from the kingdom of God. You're nearly right. You're nearly there. You're almost in the kingdom of God. Sounds like a good place to be until you think about it. Because you don't want to nearly qualify in a race, do you? Because if you nearly qualify, you don't qualify. You don't want to nearly pass an exam. Because if you nearly passed it, you failed. You don't want to nearly make it to safety. If you nearly make it to safety, you die. Jesus is speaking here about the kingdom of God. He's speaking about this man and his relationship to God, that he is nearly receiving God, nearly receiving Jesus as his king. He's not far away from doing that, but what Jesus is saying is he's not doing it. He might not be far away, but he's not doing it. And this man is getting a challenge from Jesus, and it's a challenge that we all can hear for ourselves too, that if we're nearly in the kingdom of God, then we need to think, well, I need to do whatever it takes to get into the kingdom of God. If we're nearly there today, then we need to just go whatever extra step it is to get into the kingdom of God. Because if we're nearly in the kingdom, we're not in the kingdom. And if we're nearly in the kingdom of God, then all the benefits of being in the kingdom of God are not ours. We're not forgiven. We're not the children of God. We're not safe within God's family. We don't know his saving love. We don't have his assurance of protection and care, both now and always, because we're not in his kingdom. I came across a quote from an engineer by the name of Edward Simmons. He said, "The difference between failure and success is the difference between doing a thing nearly right and doing a thing exactly right." The difference between failure and success is the difference between doing a thing nearly right and doing it exactly right. So are we doing it nearly right as we come to church this morning, or are we doing it exactly right? What does it look like to be not far from the kingdom? Well, look at this man here who is not far from the kingdom. What can you say about him? You can say a lot of good things about him. First of all, you know a good question. Verse 28, of all the commandments, which is the most important? You know a good question. You've got questions. You've got good questions. Many people aren't asking questions, but you've got questions. Also, you know a good answer. For example, in verse 28, the teacher of the law, he saw that Jesus had given a good answer to the Sadducees. You know when something's right. You know what the Bible teaches, basically. You know a good question, but you also know a good answer. You're not far from the kingdom. You agree with Jesus. Verse 32, well said, teacher, you're right. You agree with Jesus. You agree that there is a creator. And you don't have any track with other religions and their gods. You know, basically, what's right and what's wrong. You know what you should do, verse 33. To love God with all your heart and with all your understanding, with all your strength, and to love your neighbour as yourself is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. He knows what you should do. If you're not far from the kingdom, you know what you should do. You know what the right things are. You've also given advice and teaching to others. Verse 28, this man is a teacher of the law. And you, in your own capacity, perhaps in family, as parents, perhaps in your job, perhaps just as a well-meaning friend or neighbour, you help others. You give them advice. You help them to know what to do. Teach your children. You're wise. You're wise. If you're not far from the kingdom, you're wise. Verse 34, Jesus saw he had answered wisely. This man is wise. And you're sincere as well. There is no hint that this man is trying to catch Jesus out. Other people, verse 13 for example, are trying to catch Jesus in his words. But the Sadducee is not trying to catch Jesus out. He's sincere. He comes with a sincere question. Not only that, he makes time for Jesus. I suppose he could have just listened in on the debate and then just carried on, but no, he could just have walked past rather, but he stopped. He listened. He spent time listening to what Jesus was saying. That's what you're doing this morning. You've got time in your life for Jesus to listen to what he's saying and to think about it. You're not far from the kingdom of God. So you know a good question. You know a good answer. You agree with Jesus. You know what you should do. You even teach others. You're wise. You're sincere. You make time for Jesus. And as Jesus says of this man, you're not far from the kingdom of God. We really can't fault this man in this little episode for what he does. It's what he doesn't do that Jesus faults him for. Because this man doesn't commit to Jesus. He doesn't commit to following Jesus. He doesn't personally trust Jesus. What he's actually thinking about doing is he's coming, he's going to listen to Jesus for a wee while, he's even going to interact with Jesus, and then he's going to go away the same. That's what he intends in doing. I'm sure it's quite possible to do that coming to church. You've got time for Jesus. You've got your questions. You'll know a good answer when you hear it. You're sincere. And you come to church. But you're determined that when you go out of church, you're going to be the same as when you came in. That's what Jesus says makes a person not far from the kingdom of God. And that's the problem with this man. Were you planning this morning on coming to church and going out the same? Going out the same way as you came in? I mean, being the same person. Or did you plan on coming to church this morning thinking, I want to change. I need to change. I want Jesus to speak to me, and I want to receive what he says and follow him. Because if you're not far from the kingdom of God this morning, you really cannot be comfortable. You can't be comfortable. You're not far from the kingdom where God and where Jesus is king. But you're on the other side of the border. You're not actually in the kingdom. You're outside of the house. You're not in the house where the fire is lit and the meal's on the table and a friendly welcome awaits. You're standing outside in the wind and the rain. You're not in. If you're not far from home, if you're not far from the kingdom, you're not in the kingdom. And it's often a place of tragedy. When I was thinking of this, I was thinking of the well-known tragedy of the Yolara, if that's pronounced right, or probably not, but ship carrying troops home in 1919 to Lewis. And they've been through the war, and they've survived everything that happened there. And the ship founders in rocks just outside of Stornoway Harbour. Tragic. Not far from the safe place. Not far from the harbour. But not in the harbour. And maybe today you think, well, I think I am in the harbour. And maybe this man thought he was. And maybe Jesus' words came to him as a bit of a shock. A wake-up call. Maybe he was expecting Jesus to say to him, well done, you're in the kingdom of God. But Jesus said, you're not far. You've not received me as king yet. I'm not your saviour yet. You're not living under my lordship. You're not far away, but you're not in. You're still in another kingdom. You're still in another place. You're still under another jurisdiction. You've still got another king. Who is your king? That's the challenge. If you're not in the kingdom of God, what kingdom are you in? Who's ruling? Who's in charge of your life? Maybe it's just you. Maybe it's the forces and powers of this world, but it's not Jesus. Can you be happy with that situation? When you're not in the kingdom of God. Can we indeed be happy with that situation? About the people outside on the street? About the people in our own families? Who maybe know it all? And maybe had a privileged upbringing? And heard about Jesus? Went to Sunday school? Went to church? And maybe in a way they know the good answers and the good questions. And they know what's right and wrong, and they can even teach others. They're sincere. They're not far, but they're not in the kingdom of God. When Jesus said this, it says in verse 34, from then on no one dared ask him any more questions. You can see that people were stunned. They obviously had a high regard for this teacher of the law. They thought of this man as being a certain for the kingdom of God. They thought of this man as being an example that they would try and be like. And so there was a stunned silence. There was a shock. But they would say, I thought he was in the kingdom. And the man himself probably thought, I thought I was in the kingdom. I've devoted my whole life to teaching the law. But the thing is that God's Son is standing before him, as he stands before us this morning. And the man hasn't received God's Son. The man has no place in his life. For Jesus is king. He's not in the kingdom of God. So Jesus is both commending the man and saying, it's good so far. But he's warning him and saying, it's not far enough. He's saying to us this morning, it's wonderful that we're here together. But he's saying, does that mean we're not far from the kingdom? Or does it mean we're in the kingdom? Which is it? Is Jesus our king today? Is he our saviour? And do we take our commands from him? Do we follow him in our lives without shame or fear before our friends? Or are we not far from his kingdom? Because the challenge here from Jesus is not to stop at the borders of the kingdom, but to cross the border. Not to stay in the place where we can still have the final say in our lives, where we can preempt or abort anything that Jesus would say to us that's uncomfortable or that we don't like or that would inconvenience us or that might lose our face before friends or whatever. But we want to cross to the place where he has the final say. Jesus has to have the final say. Why would we have the final say when Jesus can have the final say? Is our final say better than Jesus' final say? Is what Jesus says to us not as good as what we would say to ourselves? Is our kingdom better than his kingdom? Do we control our destinies, our lives, our future better than Jesus? Can we do better for ourselves? Do we got a better plan, a better route to God than Jesus has? It's not a good place to be in, to be not far from the kingdom of God. And I wonder what happened to this man, because we're not given the luxury of finding that out. I wonder, did he leave that scene in the temple there and go away and think over the words of Jesus, the parting words of Jesus? And did he feel stung? Did he feel, oh, that hurt? And did he say to himself, I don't agree. I think I'm doing fine. And did he start to justify himself? Did he start to say to himself all the good things he was doing and all the devotion and dedication he'd shown to the law? Because if he did that, he was rejecting Jesus. If in any way he tried to avoid the sting of Jesus' words, if in any way he tried to defend himself against what Jesus was saying, and if in any way he tried to undermine what Jesus was saying, then he was rejecting Jesus. And he was going to be stuck in the wrong kingdom forever without Jesus. Or did this man go away and realize that he lacked something? It'd be great to think that. It'd be great to think that perhaps Mark got his story from the man himself, telling about how he went away and he saw that Jesus was right and that he lacked what he really needed, and that was to come back to Jesus and just to give his life to Jesus, to bow his life to Jesus, to bow his heart to Jesus, and to listen to Jesus, to let him be his teacher of the law, to let Jesus be the one he followed. Because if he did that, then he was in the kingdom. And he was with Jesus then, and he'll be with Jesus now. So that's the challenge of Jesus' words to you and to me. We've got to receive Jesus. It's not good enough to be in the boat with the life jacket stowed away when the boat capsizes. We haven't got the life jackets on, and we drown. It's something we need to think about here today. Not far is not in. Not far from the kingdom is not in the kingdom. And if we're not far from the kingdom, then we need to, like this teacher of the law, we need to think about his words. If they sting us, if they challenge us, it's because we need to hear the challenge. And it's because we're not far from the kingdom. And it's because then we need to get into the kingdom and we need to do something about it. We've got to actually come back to Jesus and we've got to tell him that we're sorry that we're not in his kingdom. We're sorry that we're still in our own kingdom. And we're sorry that we're still listening to other kings, to other rulers in our lives. And we want to ask his forgiveness for that. And we want to receive him as king. And we want to live under his lordship in our lives, to know his salvation in our lives, to be inside the harbour walls, to be in the place of safety, to have the life jacket on, not just to have it near at hand. Jesus Christ today comes to each one of us and he challenges us. It's a simple challenge, and I think each one of us understands it today. And I think probably each one of you knows from even what we've said this morning whether you're in the kingdom of God or whether you're not far from it. If you're in the kingdom of God, then don't be smug. If you're in the kingdom of God, pray for those who aren't. And work to bring those who aren't into the kingdom. And remember that you stand in the kingdom of God by his grace. By what he's done for you, not by what you've done for him. And if you're not far from the kingdom, then you know what you need to do. You need to get into the kingdom. And to get into the kingdom, you need to come to the king. You need to come to the border of the kingdom, where the king stands guard, as it were, over the border crossing. And he says, would you come into my kingdom? And you need to tell him that you would, and you need to tell him that you relinquish other kings. You need to tell him that you relinquish other authorities that you'd have listened to in the past before his voice and his kingdom and his rule. And you need to tell him that you want to receive him as your king and that you want to live under his rule, and he'll receive you into his kingdom, and he'll do far more than you can possibly ask or think. Because of his love for you, he'll cancel out the past and forgive it, and he'll receive you into God's family and into God's future, that you will dwell in his love and in his blessing forevermore. Don't be not far from the kingdom. Come into the kingdom of God. Amen.